The social and religious rights of women in the Middle East was a topic of discussion at an International Vatican Conference in February. Organized by the Pontifical Council for the Laity, the conference, entitled Woman and Man, Humanity in its Entirety, was called in celebration of the 20th anniversary of the publication of Pope John Paul's apostolic letter to women, Mulieris Dignitatum. The conference looked at various aspects of the role of women in society and in the Church from historic to modern times in various regions of the world. Well, Lebanese Father George Haddad addressed the 260 participants, summarizing his experience as a parish priest in Kuwait for 10 years and his perception of the life of women in the Gulf and other countries in the Middle East. He is author of an Italian book taking an in-depth look at the rights, freedoms, and dignity of women in the region. Women enjoy greater independence, he says, in more moderate Middle Eastern nations like Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria than they do in conservative Islamic states like Saudi Arabia and even Kuwait, which have hundreds of thousands of Christian immigrants working within their territories.
When I was in Kuwait, I saw the women, how they live, what they can do, what they cannot do. So I wrote a thesis about the woman in the Bible, in the Quran, and the woman in the Middle East, in the Muslim cultures and in the Christian cultures, in Orient and in the Occidental countries. In the book, you can see the differences between the woman in the Middle East, the woman in the Gulf, in confront with the woman in Europe.
Now, in Kuwait, you mentioned that that's where you got the idea first for this book. Yes. Of course, that's a predominantly Muslim culture. It's a wealthy nation. Yes. However, I would imagine that many of the Christians living there are immigrants, people who have come to find jobs, mostly from the Philippines and other areas of the world. How did you see these two communities interact? Women from the immigrant Christian communities and the Muslim women in Kuwait?
In Kuwait, when I was there between 1991 and 2000, I saw Muslim women, they cannot do a job, they cannot go out without their husband or their brothers or their son. So they cannot do what every woman can do in Europe or in our area, this area.
But did you get a feeling that the Muslim women there were frustrated with this, what we would say was a lack of freedom?
Not yet. In some areas they have some freedom, but in other areas, when the fundamentalism culture dominates, they don't have a freedom. They cannot do the job, they cannot go out. In Kuwait also you have everything is separate, like in the Gulf countries. You have, for example, a buses for the women, hospitals for the women, only for the women, and you have the schools for the girls, only girls. So everything is separated between women and men. It will be very, very difficult to change this mentality. There is some changes. For example, in other countries, you have the Muslims, they are open in Lebanon, in Syria, in Jordan, in Egypt. In some countries, you can see a big change. But there are very small changes in other countries, like the Gulf or, for example, in Iran, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan. There is a small change, or there is no change.
What do you see these changes due to? There's frustration with Middle Eastern governments. There's the war in Iraq. Are these things contributing to a general frustration that is leading to fundamentalism?
Yes, I think the frustration, they are not coming from the government in this area, in the Middle East, but in every country, you have groups or fundamentalism. And the groups, they don't want any change for the women, and they refuse any progress. They don't want the progress like in Europe or like in Occident.
What are they afraid of? Or is it not a question of fear? Is it something that just is directly related to their beliefs and what they read in the Quran?
Yes, the fundamentalism, they are afraid from the progress of Europe, of the West. So they are afraid of this progress. They don't want the progress comes to their area, to the Middle East or to the Gulf or to the other areas of Asia.
Is that your greatest concern right now for women, especially in the Middle East, this rise in fundamentalism?
No, because the fundamentalism, they don't want any change. They don't consider the woman outside of their house. The woman is respected only in the house, like mother or like wife or like daughter, yes. Mm-hmm. But not like women who go out for a job in the society.
And do you see a fundamental difference with women enjoying more rights in a Sunni or in a Shiite community?
You have two fundamentalisms, the Sunni fundamentalism and the Shia fundamentalism. But I think the Sunni fundamentalism, Al-Qaeda, are more dangerous than Shia's fundamentalism.
How so?
Because
one is militant, the other isn't.
Yes, one Al-Qaeda, there are militants, there are against all the West, everything coming from the West, everything coming from America, United States, from Europe, they refuse anything. But the fundamentalism of Shias in Iran, for example, I think they are not against the West, the progress of the West, but they are only against Israel.
How do women that you've met and talked to in the Middle East, Christian women, how do they feel living in a predominantly Muslim society?
They are always afraid from, not from Muslim society. They live not very well, but they live well, especially in Syria, Lebanon, Jordan. They live in this area well, but they are afraid from, not the Muslim, but they are afraid from the fundamentalism, for the groups who are in this area, in this nation. But I think the problem is the minority of the Christian who lives in the Gulf. In Saudi Arabia, for example, they don't have any church. So there are around 1 million Christian who live and work in Saudi Arabia, so they don't have any church. They are always afraid from the fundamentalism. There you have many fundamentalism, and you have a minority of Christian.
In early February, the UN Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women urged Saudi Arabia to amend legislation to conform to an international women's rights treaty signed by the kingdom in the year 2000. Lydia O'Kane reports.
The committee's 23 independent experts called on Riyadh to take immediate steps to end the practice of male guardianship over women and work to eliminate what they described as negative cultural practices and stereotypes that discriminate against women. The committee said the kingdom's system of male guardianship restricts women's legal rights in marriage, divorce, child custody, inheritance, property ownership, and decision-making in the family, as well as choice of residency, education, and jobs. The British journal The Economist points the finger at the country's lack of laws forbidding violence against women and highlights the case last year of a victim of gang rape who was herself convicted to 6 months in prison and 200 lashes. The woman was eventually pardoned after stinging international outrage. The picture, though, may not be quite so black. The journal notes positive changes may well be in the offing. The government has given initial approval for the establishment of the first Saudi women's rights organization, and some signs indicate a ban on women driving may be lifted this year. Though Arab girls generally receive a quarter less instruction than boys, education for women in the Middle East is improving. Half of university students in Saudi Arabia are women, and even more women are enrolled in Kuwait and Qatar. And women are allowed to vote in some polls in every Arab country except Saudi Arabia. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Basima Saman collaborates with the Latin Patriarchate, the Catholic Church, in Jordan. Basima says the Christian view of the rights and freedoms of women is not shared in many countries in the Middle East. And she notes that even in her native Jordan, a Christian woman is forced to renounce her faith and many of her rights if she marries a Muslim.
There is an inferiority view of women in the Middle East.
So women are seen as inferior?
Seen as inferior, yes. Second class. We are influenced by other culture, which is Muslim. Muslim cultures and mentality affects our life, in our way of practicing our professions and these things. But we have religious freedom to practice our traditions and customs and way of praying in our buildings, churches. But we don't have a freedom in choosing religion. Like if there is someone to exchange his religion from Muslim to Christian or Christian to Muslim, it's not allowed.
Who doesn't allow it?
Of course, the society, the government, not allowed at all. And there is a problem in Jordan, mixed marriages. When Christian girl marries a Muslim boy, she will lose her legal rights, Jordanian legal rights. She will lose her ecclesiastical rights in church also.
So she won't be able to continue being Christian?
Yeah, because she will be forced to change her religion to make this marriage happen. If she didn't change, she will lose her inheritance from her husband or lose her the custody of her children if there is divorce happen this marriage or difficulties or anything. So the state will be beside the Muslim, not the Christian. There is a difference between us, yes. But I want everyone to accept the other, to love each other, to accept being there as a Christian, as it is there is Muslim, and there is a Christian people, to be open to each other, to understand our beliefs, values, and the differences between us, to respect them. This is our rights as a human beings.
An expert Mideast observer, Franciscan Father David Yeager, wrote the foreword to Dr. Haddad's book on women in the region.
An interreligious marriage, marriage with disparity of worship between a Christian woman and a Muslim man, is not a realistic possibility in the Middle East. It is possible, but at the expense of the woman's own rights, of the integrity of her conscience, and at the expense and at the risk of the children. Because under the Islamic dispensation, generally children follow the religion of the father. And generally in most societies in the Middle East, the woman would have to submit to the will of the father. So the conditions do not exist that the church prescribes for permitting marriage to an unbaptized person. Those conditions may well exist for such marriages in the West, in certain situations, and according to the judgment of the local hierarchies.
Father Yeager says a lot more has to be done before women can enjoy similar rights to men in the Middle East, and that the Church can help lead the way.
I am very concerned that the Church in the Middle East be in the forefront of the drive for women's rights, women's equality. In the West, to some extent, we let others show the way and caught up rather late, perhaps, in certain parts of the West. And I think that because of the deep roots of women's equality and women's rights, precisely in the Christian view of the world, the church should lead the way.
And that was Franciscan Father David Yeager, a longtime Middle East observer. Earlier, you heard Lebanese Father Georges Haddad, author of an Italian book, taking an in-depth look at the rights and freedoms of women in the Middle East. And also, Basima Saman, a collaborator with the Latin Patriarchate in Jordan.